but on my King of Grain.
Not at the crown he gives, but on his pierced head. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's
land. Thank you. John and Sherry. Sherry, I think that's one of your favorite hymns. You're overdue to sing that. Psalm 90. We looked at this recently. And we need to look at it often. And so much more as we see the day approaching. Our home going. You notice under the Psalm, it says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. This whole psalm is a prayer, like so many psalms are. And Moses was a chosen, called, and redeemed child of God, taught of God, man of God. And if I'm a man of God, this is my prayer. And this is what I want to preach and teach you, as Moses did. And if you're a man or a woman of God, this is your prayer too. This is your heart's desire. Verse 12 sums this prayer up after he says many things. He says in verse 12, "So, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So if there was a title, it would be this. This is a short life. We need to seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Lord, he says in verse 1, "Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, our dwelling place in whom we live and move and have our being, in whose hands our breath is and all our ways." And David wrote in one of the Psalms, he said, "My times are in thine hands." And we sang a song years ago, I don't think it's in our book, "My times are in thy hands, my God, I wish them there." And I do too. But this so much more than just him watching over us. There's a verse 1 of Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." There's such a unity that we actually are in Him. Paul wrote to the churches, the church at Thessalonica, said to the church that's in God and in Christ Jesus. And I can't really explain this except to say that we are absolutely engulfed by and dwell in, surrounded by Him, in Him. We're in Him, not just in His heart, in His mind, but that's the best I can do with that because it's a mystery. But there's a oneness, there's a unity. He said, "I'll never leave you, I'm with you, you're in me. I'm in you," like Christ said, "I'm in the Father and the Father's in me." It's a mystery. But He's been our dwelling place. Talking to the people of God here, so He's talking about, and it says many things here about the infinite God and our brevity. Verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, ever there thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, the eternal Creator, our God." We saw Sunday something of His mighty power and Godhead, our eternal Creator. And we are sure glad, aren't we? We're sure glad. We want to be owned by Him and controlled by Him. And we're sure thankful. And it gives us great peace that our God reigneth. A dear brother, Jim Eccles, the church in Ashland, he and his wife Juanita came here many times over the years. Well, he passed away recently. And his dying words were, "My God reigneth." Let that be our dying word. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 32, "The eternal God is our refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath us." In Isaiah 46, he said, "I have carried you." He said, "I've borne you from the cradle, and I'll carry you to your old age." That's how we're in Him. And He's the eternal God, no beginning or end. Psalm 90, verse 2, He's the eternal God, and from everlasting to everlasting, He has no beginning, no end, and He doesn't change. And that's a great comfort. Our God changes not. So He said, "Therefore, you sons of Jacob, who are so given to change, are not consumed." Now He talks about the finiteness of man, our infinite God, and how finite we are. Verse 3, "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men." And this is what Ecclesiastes says, man goes back to his dust. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. He returns us to the dust from which we're made. And I thought about this, though. Our greatest need is for Him to turn us in repentance. As David said, "Lord, you turn us and we'll be turned. Please turn us from destruction. Grant repentance toward Thee and faith in Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And turn from repent, let it repent thee." And that's another verse. But verse 3, He says, "Thou turnest man." The Lord's the one that does it. He said, I kill. And I've quoted you, I've told you several times some numbers, but 69, in this nation alone, in this country alone, 6,900 people die every day. Every day. 4 people a minute. And how many people have gone since we've met tonight? The Lord kills. The Lord makes alive. He's the one that does this. He says, "All souls are mine," and He says, and the soul returns to the God who made it to do with it as He pleases. How needful is this prayer for us to pray to Him? Lord, return us unto Thyself. Verse 4, He says, He talks about the brevity of time. 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, as a watch in the night. You know, Peter told us this in his last epistle, in the last chapter of that epistle, 2 Peter 3. He said, "Brethren, don't be ignorant of this. Don't forget how short time is. The time is so short." Paul said the same thing. He said, redeem the time. Oh, how much time we waste, don't we? Redeem the time. And Peter said, "Beloved, don't be ignorant of this, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day, but the Lord is not slack concerning His promise." He's returning back, although the world mocks and scoffs and says, "Where's the promise of His coming? We don't see any sign of His return." We do. He's blinded their minds. But often the world and other things blind us too, to the brevity of time. And we should be hasting His coming, like Peter. Peter's the one that said that too, hasting the coming of the Lord. Everything's about to pass away. It's like a watch, He said in verse 4, a watch in the night. That was a 3-hour period, a watch in the night. Verse 5, "Thou carriest them away," that is, these years, "as with the flood." The Lord has promised never to destroy us by flood again. And however, the years are just rushing by, aren't they? I often wondered where we got that old saying, that's so much water under the bridge. Perhaps from this, that the years go by so quickly, just rushing by, aren't they? Rushing by, like 1,000 years, like that. They're like a sleep, he said in verse 5. Like a sleep. You go to sleep, and by the way, you know, a believer, the Lord giveth His beloved sleep. He calls death, He doesn't call it death, He calls it sleep. And how we look forward to going to sleep, don't we? And in a moment, you go to sleep, don't you? And it's, you know, no sooner go to sleep than you're wide awake at 2 a.m., depending on your age, 4 a.m. or something. But you go to sleep, you blink your eyes, you're awake again. He said, that's this life. That's how quickly it goes by. It's like a sleep. In the morning, verse 5, it's like grass that groweth up. In the morning, verse 6, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it's cut down. The Lord cuts it down. Withereth. And it's cut down. It's like the grass. It flourisheth for a while. My. These young ones, these babies that, you know, they're so beautiful and tender. And yet they become infants so quickly, and then they become children, and they become adolescents, and they become teenagers, and they become mothers and fathers. I told Gabe and Hannah the other day, I still call Isabella Hannah because it's gone by that quickly. I'm always calling her Hannah, aren't I? I mean, just because it's gone by that quick. And I told Gabe and Hannah, I said, you will be us tomorrow. Isabella will be you, Lord willing. And we'll be my old parents. It's going to be that quick, isn't it? Just that quick. That's why we should be wise, consider our latter end and number our days. He said in verse 7, we're consumed by thine anger. Consumed by thy anger and by thy wrath are we troubled. This is for those that are taught of God, these words. This whole psalm is for God's people that understand it. We know something of the holy and just and righteous God who is a consuming fire. The world doesn't even believe God, let alone that He's holy and just and angry and wrath and all that. The world just doesn't believe that. But we do, don't we? We've been taught of God. We plainly see His eternal power and His Godhead, don't we? And like Romans 1 says, the wrath of God is clearly revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, that is, suppress it in unrighteousness. We clearly see, don't we, all of the calamities and disasters and sicknesses and diseases and death. We see that as the hand of God, don't we? Clearly see that. And the world is blind, though. They don't see that. Like the story of the Egyptians, the children of Israel in Egypt, and the Lord was sending all of these evident plagues. Evident, weren't they? Of God's judgment against sin. And yet the Egyptians didn't see it. And as far as we can tell, well, there may have been some that we don't know about. But we don't hear of the Egyptians calling and crying out to God, do we? To spare them from the wrath of God. And you don't hear many people today. Save us from thy wrath. But God's people understand something about this. We do. We do. The world thinks these things are just natural causes. No. God is the cause. Well, God sends it. Sin is the cause. This is the next verse. He says, you've set our iniquities before thee. our secret sins even, in the light of Thy countenance. The sins of open rebellion and even secret sins men think are secret. They think, they say things like the Psalm says, how doth God know? Doth God see? Oh yeah, the light and the darkness is the same to Him. And the time to understand the time is when, like Sodom, in Isaiah 3, it says, the show of their countenance doth witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. And when men and women, when the world begins to shake their fist, as it were, to taunt God in their sin and rebellion, the end is nigh. Like Sodom. Like Sodom. But we understand this, don't we? By God's grace, by God's Spirit, thankfully, He's made these things known unto us. And so we see, and David, remember David said, Lord, purge me from my iniquity. David said, keep back Thy servant from secret sins. Cleanse me, wash me thoroughly from all in my iniquity. Let no sin have dominion over me. Only God's people pray that prayer. Psalm 51. That's why it's so dear to us. But the world, you know, is troubled, verse 7, by the wrath and anger of God, but they don't see it as being from Him. We do. Verse 9, he says, all our days. Now here's, he's going to teach us the fear of the Lord. All our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Verse 11, who knows the power of Thine anger? According to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. Wrath because of sin. Wrath, suffering and pain and ultimately death. The wages of sin. Right? You know the Scriptures. By one man, sin entered into the world and what? Death. My sin. And death passed upon all men. The wages of sin is death sent by God because of His wrath. And He says in verse 9, all our days are passed away in Thy wrath quickly. You remember, man used to live 700 or 800 years. Some longer. Now it's down to 70 or 80. Why? Because the Lord says, I can't take them any longer than that. Because of sin. He went down to 120 and he said, that's too long to put up with them. That's the reason. Cut it down to a tenth. 70 or 80 years. Because of wrath. We spend our years, verse 9, as a tale that is told. It's so brief. It's so brief. Our life. It's like a tale. And somebody's going to say about us when we die, did you hear that old John Sheasley died? Old John Sheasley, he died. No, did he? Well, that's too bad. In a few days, I forget all about it. Like a tale that's told. I read these fairy tales to Isabel and Sophie when they come to stay with her, lie in bed, and I read these tales, and they take about 3 minutes, and it's over. And there's nothing to it. It's over. Our lives are so short and vanity. We're just not very important. You know that? We're just not very important. Psalm 103, which I love, some of you love dearly, Psalm 103 says, the wind's going to pass over where we were, and the place thereof will know it no more. If the Lord doesn't come back, there'll be a generation that won't know we ever existed. And it won't take long. I watched a little squirrel cross the road one day. I watched a car run over that squirrel. And there it lay in its body right there, still warm. Next day, next day. And you know, in about 2 weeks' time, you couldn't tell that squirrel had ever been there. It was gone. There was no trace of it. That's us. Oh, teach us. Teach us to number our days. Apply our hearts to wisdom. The tale that's told. The days of our years, verse 10. Now, here's all he's promised. That's what I told Brother John when I'd go out to see him. Brother John, you're 80 years old now, 78, 79. He was 80 when he died. I said, John, you're past time. I know it, Paul. We're promised 70 years. That's it. We hit 70. We start getting close. Oh, how we ought to be. So serious about this. So much more as we see the day approaching. 70 years, if by reason of strength, not yours, God-given strength. Nothing you do adds a day to your life. Your day, our days are determined. The number of our months are with the Lord. He hath set our bounds we cannot pass. Nothing you eat or don't eat is going to add a day. It might keep you from getting the gout, but it's not going to add a day to your life. Remember that. You know that. We know these things. The world doesn't know that. There's a proverb that says their secret thought is that they're going to live forever. Some they're hoping against hope that somebody's going to find the fountain of youth. We know the fountain of youth, don't we? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood, the dew of youth is going to be on their brow forever. The years, our years are 80 years at most, at best. Boy, Mom, 91. Yet, in all those years, beginning early, there's strength, labor, and sorrow, and then it's soon cut off, and we fly away. Fly away. Back to God. The soul goes back to God who gave it. We fly away. We start out strong. Boy, we get weak fast. I just started a new exercise regimen. Guaranteed to make me fit in 3 weeks. I'm 60 now. And it ain't going to work. But I'm trying it anyway. We get weak. I'm weak as a kitten these days, and I'm trying to accept it. Strong, begin strong, quickly get weak, and there's labor. It's all full of labor, isn't it? Our whole life, isn't that what our Lord said to Adam and Eve when He sent them out of the garden? He said, by the sweat of your brow. He told the woman, said, in sorrow. All your days, you're going to be filled of sorrow and childbearing and child raising and family. You're going to be full of sorrow. Strength, labor, and sorrow, and cut off. Why then do we labor for that which is not bread? Isn't that what the Lord said? Oh, that they were wise. Consider the latter end, not labor for those things that perish. Perishing things of clay, born but for one brief day, pass from my heart away. Oh, Lord Jesus, you be my portion. Verse 11, who knows the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Who knows? Few do. Do you know? How blessed you are if you do. Who hath believed our report, Isaiah said? Who hath believed our report? Not many. Do you? Blessed art thou, sister. Blessed are you. You believe the report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's Isaiah 53. Is the arm of the Lord revealed unto you? Huh? That you're under His arm? Has He made bare His arm of salvation? Christ, has He? Oh, you know something then about His anger. You know something of his fear. God has taught you to fear him. Know something of his wrath. And so, verse 12, he says, teach us to number our days. Number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And this means so much more than numbering our days, although I did that. And it's very revealing, very shocking. If you actually, I didn't write it down this time, but if you actually number 70 days, I forget how many thousands of days, 35,000 or something like that. And if you're 60, what, Dan, 69? Is it? Might as well be. It's going to be tomorrow in 65, something like that. You've just got a few days left. Honestly. 1,500 days. Days, mind you. Number our days. And this also is to tell us, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know not what a day. This may be your last day. There's a day appointed for our death. And we don't know the day. It's going to be a day. And that date has already been recorded by our God. Many of you know the day, the date. Remember well the birth of your children, your spouses, your parents. You know the day of their death. You've got you don't need to write it down. It was firmly imprinted in your mind and in your heart. Well, God wrote their names, their birth, first birth, second birth, in the palm of their hand, and homegoing. It's already written down. And on his breastplate. And he's looking forward to that day. You believe that? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint. I look forward to seeing my grandchildren. I just count the days when they're to come with us, and they're just no sooner here and they're gone. And I already miss them, knowing badly when they're gone. But our Lord, can you believe? Can you believe that he loves his people so much and desires for them to be with him? He's got that day written down and looks forward to that day. And when that day comes, he gets the angels ready. Huh? Oh, yeah. Much more than you and me. That's a fact. That's not too good to be true. It's just God. God is love. Number our days in that this might be the last day. Number our blessings. Every day, every morning, his mercies are new. We ought to wake every morning, we ought to wake up and thank him for his mercies, his compassions that fail not. Every day is a new day of mercy. And as our days, what does he say? So shall our strength be. He's promised that. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts, out of the heart, the issues of life. With the heart man believeth. Write these on the table of our heart. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wisdom. Now, who knows what wisdom is? If you would ask the world, if I were to stand up before any so-called church today and say, what is wisdom? They'd give you many things, wouldn't it? If I would ask this congregation, every person in here, including our youngest children, would say, Christ. Oh my, how blessed we are. Now, to consider our latter end, that's wisdom. But to consider and to think on and apply our hearts to know the Lord Jesus Christ, now that's wisdom. Paul said, for me to live, for me to continue to live, is Christ. He said, oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. He said, oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, fellowship of His supper. That's wisdom. Christ is wisdom. He's made unto us wisdom. And to have a few good days left, whatever we have left, is to apply our hearts to His cause and His service. You know, our Lord knew He had 33 years. From however old He was, where He's conscious of, you know, probably earlier than any of us, 6 months. What a mystery. What a mystery. But at any rate, however old He was, we began to think about, I've got 33 years, just 33 years to do a great work. Oh, He didn't waste any time, did He? Matthew Henry said that. If we don't want to spend our lives as just a tale, an idle tale that's been told, then let's be about the Lord's business. The Lord told the story of Moses, and it took a good while. Joseph, he was in the cause. David said, is there not a cause? Our Lord, the whole book's about His story. 33 years, though. 33 short years. Oh, what did He accomplish? So great salvation. And He knew that, though. And He spent His days wisely. May I say that? Yes. It's worth thinking about. He didn't spend His days thinking about stuff. He didn't spend His days thinking about self. All His days were spent thinking about His Father, His glory, His honor, and His people. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon Himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and served His people. Oh, Lord, apply our hearts to this wisdom. This is wisdom. Our Lord said, it's more blessed to give. You'll see a few good days. Don't have many left. If you spend it on yourself, you spend it on others like our Lord, you'll be a happy person. Here's wisdom. Why am I here? Here's wisdom. Why am I here on planet Earth? Why am I here in Central Grace Church? That's wisdom. Thy kingdom come. Didn't He tell us to pray? This is what you pray. First thing, hallowed be Thy name. Second thing, Thy kingdom come. I'm a part of it. This is what I'm about. It's supposed to be about. Verse 13, He says, return, O Lord. How long? Moses saw the Lord on that mountain. Remember? He was standing on the rock. And the Lord revealed Himself to him. He said, I'm going to come down. Stand by you. And I said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. He saw the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced of it. And Moses saw the Lord Jesus Christ. It says the Lord came down and stood with him there. Well, he was, though he was with him, yet he wasn't. And I believe Moses is saying, Lord, I'd like to see you again. I'd like to see you again. Would you return? How long is it going to be, Lord? Oh, my. We've seen His glory in the sanctuary. We've seen something of Him. Lord, return. Return. Come quickly, Lord. How long, Lord? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Repent. Turn from anger. Look upon Christ. Turn us. Reconcile us. Let us truly be thy servants. Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Satisfy us, verse 14. Satisfy, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our day. Oh, it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Oh, my, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed to the word of God. Oh Lord, put the yoke upon us and our children in our youth, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Lord, and we, you do. You pray for our children. You pray for your own. You pray for all our children, don't you? Earnestly, intensely, daily. We pray daily for your children. I know you do. For ours. We pray for our children. They're our children. We've seen them born here and raised, and we pray for them. Lord, put the yoke upon them early. Early. Show them thy mercy, that they may rejoice in the Lord and be glad all our day. Verse 15, I like this. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, the years wherein we've seen evil. Make us glad that you've afflicted us. We know something about this, don't we? We can say with David, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. Only a believer can say this. David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. Why, David? That I might learn thy statute. That I might look to thee. That you might turn my eyes from beholding vanity. That you might wean me from this world. And whom the Lord loveth, he... Don't forget this, Paul wrote in Hebrews. Don't forget this, brethren. That whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. How blessed we are. Lord, make us glad when you chasten us. Make us glad when you afflict us. Brethren, know this, Peter wrote. The same afflictions are accomplished. Accomplish the same end. Increase our faith. Wean us from this world. Cause us to look to Him. Cause us to be merciful and gracious to one another. These same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren throughout the world. There's no... God had one Son. My pastor always said this. God had one Son without sin. He had no sons without affliction. None. It's good for me. It's good. Evil. We remember that? Isaiah 45:5-7. The years we've seen evil, the world thinks it's evil. But you know, brethren, it's all good. It's all good. God worketh it all for good. Verse 16. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Thy work. What is God's one great work? The work of redemption. So great salvation that Christ accomplished on Calvary. Lord, let that work always be before mine eyes. Let it appear always unto thy servants. And thy glory, this is His glory. Let our children behold His glory. Lord, reveal Yourself to us and our children, thy glory. And verse 17, in closing, he says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. The beauty of holiness. I quote it often. I love it. The verse David said, I'll behold your face in righteousness. How can God bring a clean thing out of an unclean? How can He be clean that's born of woman? I'll tell you how. Jesus Christ, and He crucified. He's going to wash us thoroughly. Has washed us, cleansed us from all unrighteousness, being conformed to His blessed image, a new creature in Christ, holiness unto the Lord. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So that's what Moses is praying. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Lord, I'm so sick and tired of me. Would you make me like Christ? Would you use these hands for thy glory and honor? And for once in my life, let me serve thy cause. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Let us be like Christ and live out the rest of our days with some worth, some value to His cause. That's a good prayer, isn't it? So teach us, Lord. All right, stand with me. Our Father, oh, how we thank you for your word. It is our meat, our drink, our water to quench our thirst, our bread, our food to eat, to satisfy our hunger. It's our clothing. It is our help. It is our instruction. It is our chastening. It is our direction, our compass, as it speaks of Christ. It's not a thing, but it's a person. Christ, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And as we look to Him, Lord, we have peace and are changed into His likeness. Oh, Lord, cause us to keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us to number our days, Lord. We don't have many left. Most in this room are getting older, and we have don't have many days left. Teach us, Lord. Teach us. Send Thy Holy Spirit to teach us, lead us, guide us. Set our affection on things above where Christ is, and use us, Lord. Oh, use us. What days we have left, use us for Thy glory and Thy honor. And Lord, please have mercy upon our children. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. You're dismissed.